Israelites cross over the River Jordan, it's no small thing. This is what they've been waiting for the last 40 years. But what is the significance of crossing over the Jordan, or the enemy of death? We invite you to join us today as we continue our journey through Joshua. And we are in chapter 3, looking at the crossing of the Jordan, message that Pastor Chris Gordon is simply entitled, Crossing Over the Enemy of Death. With today's broadcast of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris as we take a look at this extraordinary moment in Israel's time.
There's a reason why in the Psalms, beloved, every other passage seems to say, trust me. Trust me. Remember what happened at the Red Sea? They're backed up against it. This monstrous sea. In front of them, the way that Moses led them was purposely to put them backed up against the Red Sea. And there, from the other angle, came the Egyptians with all their war chariots in all their power and all their thunderous glory. And remember what they did. They fell apart. Have you backed us into this, Moses? There were no graves in Egypt that you would come to leave us to die here. This is what you put us through? Remember what Moses said? Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he'll work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you'll never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only have to be silent. Just be quiet. I'd use a stronger word, but I get in trouble. What was the problem? They were unbelieving. Their hearts were not consecrated to the Lord. Their hearts were not set apart to the Lord. There was no faith. He does all this. He brings them over the first time. They get to Sinai. 40 days, they're there. And they get impatient and they complained and they said, where is this Moses? Excuse me. We don't know what's happened to him. And as for this God, we don't know where he is. Come, make us a new God who will go before us. And out came the calf and their whole worship was corrupted. You remember the story. You see these problems. We study them. We see exactly what our tendencies are. Well, I think everything about chapter 3 is meant to challenge this. They simply would not follow. They simply would not acknowledge the Lord. And they were full of sloth. New generation. They have in front of them a huge problem. Deja vu, if you will. They have to cross now the Jordan River. You'll notice it says in this passage, God didn't bring them through at the easiest of times. The banks are overflowing because it's the harvest time. In other words, he could have brought them to the time where it was shallow and the waters were receding and it would have been an easy cross. He didn't do that. He brought them to the time, right at the moment, where the river was the strongest. They've come to the most challenging time to bring them across. And I think the first thing that we have to notice here is that the waters themselves are presented as a great, chaotic foe to be overcome. The greatest foe to be overcome. Notice what the Lord does. He says in verse 2, after three days, and you start to think, you know, God could have heaped them up right away and made this, it seems like, easier. No, I'm going to deal with the heart of my people first. After 3 days, you wait. Wait for what? Well, just bring us across, Lord. No, You're going to wait for the ark. And when you see the ark of the Lord your God, the priests and the Levites bearing it, you shall then set out from your place and you go after it. You go after the ark. Now, you see, this is, I think, an interesting moment, because what we would rather have from God is just instant, miraculous lifting up the waters and Him solving the problem, right? I mean, this is what we do in prayer. Take it away. Fix this right now. Lord, help me right now. And you wonder, why doesn't He answer? Oh, it's not that He's not answering. He's just not answering the way that you want Him to answer. Because you're trying to control Him without truly looking to Him. You see, this is an important point. Notice what happens here. Deliver us. And the Lord says, wait. And this has always been a common theme in the scriptures. Wait upon the Lord, I say. Wait again upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Be of good courage. He'll strengthen your heart. Wait. But I want a space between you and this ark, the ark, about 2,000 cubits. Don't come near it, that you may know the way, because you've never passed by this way before. Here's what I think's happening here that's important. What was the ark, boys and girls? The ark was the symbolic representation of God's presence. The cherubim were crafted. So you'd see this little golden ark, and the cherubim had raised up arms over it and had poles to carry it. They couldn't touch the ark. And we studied this in Exodus, and we studied this in Hebrews. It was a little mini replica of the throne room, the throne of God. And it had wheels. And you might even, if you can remember the Ezekiel sermon, where the bigger spiritual reality of the wheels touching the earth all the way up into heaven was a moving throne. Here's a little mini replica of the moving throne of God. God was in their midst with the ark, was the declaration. This special piece of furniture was a declaration that God was present with them. What does the preparation teach us? I want you to wait, but I don't want you looking at the waters of the Jordan. You are not to look at the waters of the Jordan. You are to look for the ark. You are to look for the one who can overcome. You are to look for me and wait on me, says the Lord. You need to remember who I am. I'm the Holy One of Israel who dwells with you. I'm the Holy God who comes among you. You of all the people on the earth are most blessed to have my presence among you. And you've not realized that. You've taken it for granted. You've corrupted my worship. I want it recognized that I have come among you to deliver you. Remember what would later happen with the ark, that nobody took this seriously, that even when the ark and the oxen stumbled and Uzzah put out his hand to stop it, God struck him dead because no one was reverencing God anymore. So this comes with this added call all of a sudden. Verse 5. Sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord comes, and He's going to do wonders among you. Consecrate yourselves. Purify yourselves. What's He saying? Wash. Repent. Repentance. Consider who's coming among you, and consider as a people that you are my separate people. You are a holy people. You are a set apart people. You are not of the peoples on the earth, and you are to remember who is coming among you and who I am and who you are. Sanctify yourselves. Consecrate yourselves. Wash yourselves. Purify yourselves. And when you see the ark, then you go after it. Now, in contrast to all of Israel's past actions, remember what I said. When God was doing a great work among His people, you see response in His people. And here's what response looks like. What do you think the river represents, beloved? Life is full of obstacles. Inheriting the promised land comes with a lot of struggle. That's what you're all in right now. Your biggest obstacle is your own deliverance and the receiving of eternal life. And what is the biggest obstacle to it? It's death. Death is the great barrier that you have to cross over to enter eternal life. Death is the great barrier that you have to cross over to enter eternal life. Listen to me. You can't cross that alone without falling into judgment. This is scary stuff. I think it was Tolstoy who said, "Man cannot possess anything as long as he fears death. But to him who does not fear it, everything belongs." We all have anxieties. We all have fears, problem after problem in this life. If I went through and talked to you right now, what are your problems you're facing? It'd be tough to go through and listen to all the struggles some of you are really going through right now. And what's the biggest you have to face? It's coming for every one of you. It's death. And the Bible presents this, if we're going to be true and honest, as our greatest fear. Some might boldly say, "I don't fear death." I've seen a lot of people who say that until they get there, then they fear it. It's your greatest fear. You're going to die. And you're all trying to beat it. This is what we live trying to do. We hope we'll live long. We hope we'll have the good life with our grandkids and they'll run around. Just, you know, good life. The reality is this. It's appointed for man to die and then the judgment. Your death's already appointed. You're not making it come sooner, or you're not holding it out. It's appointed. You're going to die. You got to cross over this barrier. Death is the portal to judgment, says Scripture. It's an awful thing, beloved. Death is an awful thing. And anyone who dies without Christ faces the eternal judgment of God. Now, here's the scene. Isn't this awesome? I don't want your eyes on the Jordan. I want your eyes on me. Jordan represents death. I represent life. I want you looking to me to overcome this obstacle. I do not want you trying to figure out how to beat that. And here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to come among you. And I'm going to lead, and I'll be the first one to go in the Jordan for you. And you're going to pass through safely on dry ground. You recognize who has come among you? The one who can beat death. Consecrate yourselves. Wash in preparation. Look to me and you wait on me. This has been the greatest challenge for the church today. What do we need, Lord, the most from the Lord? Well, we could say a lot of things, but we need deliverance from death and to cross over in death to eternal life. So everything's prepared. And now something's proclaimed to the people. We read all of a sudden at the third day, the priests brought the ark. Here it comes. All of a sudden, seemingly out of nowhere, the priests bear up the ark, and here it comes on the poles. And could you imagine the scene of this? Could you just, I don't know how much to try to paint this picture, if I can do it, but imagine how awesome this was. Imagine the silence that broke out over the 2 million people. All of a sudden, the hustling and the bustling, and there he comes. Let me recount for you what happened when the ark moved in Israel. When Israel originally left Sinai, they departed from Sinai, a journey of 3 days. The cloud of the Lord was above them by day, and it went out from the camp. So it was, whenever the ark set out, Moses did something. You know what Moses did whenever the ark set out? He said this, Rise, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee from you. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel. When the ark moved, God was on the warpath. Psalm 68 describes it. God shall arise and his enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so shall the wicked perish before God. But the righteous shall be glad. They shall exult before God. They shall be jubilant with joy. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. Who? God rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exalt before him. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Ascribe power to God whose majesty is over Israel and whose power is in the skies. Awesome is God from his sanctuary. The God of Israel, he's the one who gives power and strength to his people. Bless the Lord. Rise, O Lord. Let your enemies be scattered. Verse 7, Joshua said, the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all the people, that they may know as I was with Moses, so I am with you. So what does Joshua do? He starts preaching to all the children of Israel. Joshua says, come here, come here. Hear the words of the Lord your God. Here's how you're going to know God's among you. Here's what's going to happen. That ark, bore by the priests, is going to be carried. And as soon as the priest touches his toe, his foot, in that water's heaping up. He's calling them to faith. Here's the imagery. Priest bearing the ark. This sword, this warrior named Yeshua with his sword drawn is heading out to conquer the greatest foe. Are you seeing anything? Here is Christ, the imagery of Christ taking on the enemy of death, the one who's at the right hand of God, the one who has come among us, who is made great among us. And they're all shouting out, let the enemies be scattered. You think it kind of fits that what I could interject right here? When Jesus said, when he walked among the multitudes, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe that? The ark comes out, the priests start walking, and they get to the waters of death. And all of a sudden, as soon as their foot dips in, this is a big river, the water starts receding back in power. 20 miles back at Adam, and it went straight up into the heavens, right across from Jericho, by the way. Imagine seeing that. When at creation, God separated the waters from the waters, there was life. When at the flood, God brought the waters together, there was death. What did he do to the Egyptians? Drown them. The sea represents death. And once again, God opens it up, and we read of all of Israel, all their little ones, all their children, the elderly, as a great family of God, crossed completely over the Jordan. The Bible gives so much attention to the splitting of the Red Sea and to the crossing of the waters of the Jordan. Why, beloved? Why? Why these two events? Because it all represents our greatest enemy. Sin and death. Do you see the story here? Why are there two crossings? Well, because both represent death. The first sea crossing, all throughout scriptures, is celebrated as representative of the death of Jesus for you. The judgment was placed on him, and they were baptized into Christ when they crossed the Red Sea. He saved them from sin and death. He beat that enemy. He triumphed over it. But then we have a long wilderness journey after that. It's tough. Hard. We've been wandering for years. We have to pass and face this last enemy. Did you know that? That's why the Bible calls it the last enemy. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Do you see what's happening here? He through death might destroy the one who had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. That's Hebrews 2. The Jordan River signifies the power of death, the enemy of death, the greatest foe. And by the way, in the new heavens and the new earth, as soon as we've crossed over on that last day, when there's no more death, no more tears, no more sorrowing, guess who cleanses the city for once and for all? Jesus. Of all the enemies of the Lord. Guess who passed before us and took us from death to life? Yeshua, Joshua. We wait upon the Lord, beloved, and with courage in this life, our eyes are on the ark, if you will, not on death. Our eyes are on Jesus, not on the things that we can't conquer ourselves. And if you haven't figured it out yet, you can't conquer much of anything yourself. He has, and he will ultimately beat this enemy for us. And because of him, death, think of our Heidelberg now, death becomes not a payment for our sins, but a putting off of our sins, and is an entrance into eternal life. That's the imagery that's captured here. And he's calling us today to look to him, to consecrate ourselves, to trust him, to believe him, to wait upon him in life's afflictions, but to always have our eyes looking to Christ, our warrior who's gone before us and who splits the sea and will pass us over to the other side. Isn't that the beauty of death, beloved? When you die, you are immediately in his presence and wake in his presence. This great enemy that we all fear. Death can't keep its prey. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives it to us through Jesus Christ. So, we wait upon the Lord and we go forward when he calls us. And when that ark moves, we go. And we consecrate ourselves as a people separate to him, living a true and genuine life, not hypocritical. And then we can sing this, and let's do that. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fear subside, death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. How good God is to us. He's calling us to look to him in life and in death and believe his promise.
You have been listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. If you have questions or comments about the program, maybe you would like to learn more about who we are, well, you're more than welcome to visit our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. If you have questions, well, address them to questions@agradio.org, and we'll have Pastor Chris answer them as best we can. We may even put it on the air. Again, agradio.org or call 888-504-8805. Now, at that website, you will also find a few links to Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Follow us on any of those platforms that you frequently visit. And again, you can also listen to past programs as you visit agradio.org. And then come back and join us next time as we continue our studies in God's Word, abounding in grace. Until then, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.